Yeah. Okay, today's daf ches. We are Zion Amar Aleph, just before the two dots near the bottom. Toshima. We're still going on about this. We wanted to know when Reb Shimon holds that a camel that comes from a kosher mother, so he says it's not kosher. But then the question is, how much does it have to look like a cow in order to be kosher? So we know that by Bechor, Reb Shimon said it has to be Rosh Veruba. We're trying to work out what he holds about eating it. It's Toshima, it's the end of the line, I don't know, 10 lines from the bottom. Toshima, Reb Shimon, Emer, Gomel, Gomel, Shnei Pamim. It says Gomel twice. Echad Gomel, Nelim, and Gomel, Echad Gomel, Nelim, and Apora. So that's Reb Shimon's Shita, which we said yesterday, that even if it's the mother is a cow, it's still not kosher. But if the head and most of it are like the mother, is muter ba'achila, is shmamina ba'achila nami boy Reb Shimon Reish Verubay. So that's clearly Reb Shimon says what he holds, that it needs to be to be kosher to eat. It has to be Reish Verubay, shmamina. So that's the good proof. Okay. Then we had in the Mishnah, Ajeshe Minah Tomei is Tomei. Things that come out of unkosher animals are unkosher. So the question is, Boy Menemer of Sheshes, Meraglaim Shel Chamor Mahu. Apparently, drinking the urine of a donkey is some kind of a medical benefit for different diseases. Yeroka, green disease, dengue fever, I don't know what it is, right? So, the question is, are you allowed to drink this meraglaim of a chamor? Because it comes out of an unkosher animal. You said, a yetzim min ha-tomei is tomei. So that doesn't include meraglaim. What's the question? So the question is as follows. So first of all, tiboy susa magmalim. Why choose donkeys? Why not horses and camels? So the Gemara says about Rav Sheshet, susa magmalim boy lehu. There's no question about horses and camels. The leachiri. Because they are not, they are definitely permitted. Because they are not discolored, they look clear like water. So they don't look like milk. They just look clear. It's maya oil, maya nafuk. So when a horse urinates, what's coming out is what came in. It's just water. So therefore, there wouldn't be no question that it's kosher. The question is the urine of the donkey, the achiri, because it's discolored, the dam or the chalav, it looks like milk. So maybe it should be not kosher. Is my, what's the din? Do we say megufi kamim tziv asiri? Is it something that comes from the body of the donkey? And therefore it's yotzim in atome, like donkey milk, if there was such a thing. And it would be not kosher. Or do we say that even though it's discolored, it's really just water that came in, and water in, water out? The YWO principle. Well, maybe it picked up some electrolytes on the way in. I don't know. It looks the hide achiri. Why is it discolored? Havlo de bistro, because of the warmth of the being inside the animal, so it changed color. Sorry, maybe that's also what cures you. Yeah, it's amalahu rav sheshes. So they asked Rav Sheshes. So Amalahu Rav Sheshes answered, Tenisua, we have a brisa, the Mishnah, actually. Hayetze min ha-tomei, tomei, v'yetze min ha-tor. So what does it mean, min ha-tomei? If it comes out, there's two ways of saying from. You could say mi tomei or min ha-tomei. So he says, mi tomei loika amar, elo min ha-tomei, turn the page. So he says, why is it uses the word min hatomei instead of mitomei to tell you hani nami mina de tomehu? If it was mitomei, it would mean only things that are of the goof of the mitomei would mean the goof of the donkey, and if it wasn't part of the donkey's body, it would be okay. But when it says min hatomei, this also came out. Mina, so it looks like it's trying to put together the word mina, which means the type. This is something that's from a donkey, and therefore he says basically it's not kosher.
It's funny, from the Mishnah, it's referring to a child.
Yeah, that's right.
Because it was a klal from the...
Okay, but now that we have a klal, we say anything that comes out of the body of a tomei is tomei. Now, But we also said in the Mishnah, we talked about, yeah, we didn't talk about milk in the Mishnah. Yeah, you're right. Okay. Ikadi Amri, some say that the story was like this. So when they asked Rav Sheshes, the Susim of Mamlekim Bolu, they didn't ask about horses and donkey, horses and camels, the Leshasu Inchi, because no one drinks it. No one drinks horse and camel urine, and therefore, why would you bother? You don't need to ask a shayla if it's kosher or not. Kikami Bolu, the Chamor. The question was about the donkey, the shasu inchi, because people like to drink donkey urine. Umali akoina, it's good for green fever. So therefore, because it's good for that, hello. Therefore, they people would want to know what's the din. It's my. That was the question. Is it's amal of sheishes that he saw yesterday? Tommy yesterday Torah Torah. And Tommy Tomika also. Okay, so the same answer, even though the question was slightly different. Okay, we are still catching up yesterday's Zion Amud Beis. We're about six lines from the top. Mesavei. So Rav Sheshes told them that donkey urine is not kosher. It's Mesavei. So I'll ask you now, Akasha, we learned in a Mishnah named Ma Omro Devash Devorim is Mutter. Why is honey that comes from bees, why is it kosher? It goes into the bee. So why isn't it unkosher? Because it's been inside an unkosher bee. And says the Mishnah, because what they're doing is they take stuff into their body and they use their body is only there as a storage area. But they don't produce the honey from their body. Yeah. So according to that, the same thing should be by the urine of the donkey. We should say that it's water in, water out. It doesn't produce the urine, it just passes the water through. Hence the expression, passing water. So therefore, it should be kosher, just like honey that came... Well, yes, but it's water in, water out. So therefore, it's not something that comes out of the guts of the donkey. So just like honey that comes out of a bee is kosher, so urine that comes out of a donkey should be kosher, says the Mishnah.
Question of urine being kosher, who's going to drink urine?
Well, so we just said because it's good for your health. It's good for fever, certain Yerokin. So people want to drink it. From a donkey. Yes, we had a whole discussion yesterday with some people I was with, and they were talking about how drinking urine is good for your skin complexion. All sorts of interesting theories start coming out when you get into it. Anyhow, so how come Rav Sheshes told them that you can't drink donkey urine? So Gemara answers, "Who the Amar Rav Yaakov? Because he holds like Rav Yaakov. What did Rav Yaakov say? The Amar Duvsha Rachmana Sharya, that honey is a special heter." In normal principle, because it's been through a bee, it should be not kosher. But honey is specifically permitted. The Tanya Rabbi Yaakov Eimer, Achazeh Toichu, Mikol Sheretz Oif. These are the things that you shall eat from insects of flying insects. What does that mean? Zeh Atoichu V'Atoichu Sheretz Oif Tomei. You can eat the kosher ones. You can't eat the ones that aren't kosher. So the Gemara says, the Rabbi Yaakov says, why do I need a pasuk to tell me don't eat the ones that aren't kosher? The Torah tells you what's not kosher, the non-kosher, it's birds, whatever it is. So why does it need to tell me, again, don't eat it? Sheretzoif, tomei behedjiksim. Ella, but the kvetch is the other way around. Sheretzoif, tomei yatoichel. Something that comes out of an unkosher flying object, flying animal, is a sheretz oif tome is not mashritz. Something that is produced out of an unkosher flying insect is actually you are allowed to eat it. Which thing is produced by a non-kosher flying insect that is permitted? What is it? Zeh dvash devorim. Honey from a bee. So according to Rabbi Yaakov, it's a specific pasuk that permits honey from a bee, and you cannot extrapolate that to the urine of the donkey. Yochal avdvash agizim etzirin. You cannot even extrapolate it to other honeys. Let's say you might think that honey from Gizin and Sirin, which is a type of locust, type of whatever insects they are, is a martaloi. So he said, no. What do you mean he said no? The bees, yes, but this, no. That's not very logical. So the Gemara says, Mara Isa, what did you decide, the rabbis, the vodim, how did you decide to tell me that bees, yes, and lahetzi gizin vetsirin, and gizin and tsirin, no? The dvash, yeah, that was the proof we used about the cholov. Yeah. I don't know, yesterday we used that pasuk to prove that cholov is kosher. Remember we had a question, how do you know you're allowed to drink milk? It's not every menachai and whatever. So anyway, there's a different answer. He says, Marbani dvash devodim. By the way, that dvash, I can answer you very simply, that dvash is talking about the Shiva minim of it. You saw in Shtabach, it says there dvash, Eretz Zeshemen Udvash, and that means dvash tmorim. Comes from dates. Doesn't have to be made out of bees at all. You know? So he says that I'm including that kosher is honey, bee honey. Marban is dash tvorim, she'en l'shem l'voy. When you say the word honey stam, dvash, you mean honey from a bee. Yeah? But moitziani devash agizim vatsirin, honey that comes out of locusts, sheyesh l'shem levai. Nobody just calls that honey; they call it locust honey. And therefore, I'm going to be more likely to include the one that is the stam honey, which is the honey. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yaakov, honey is a special heter, and chamer urine is no good. And Rav Shesha said that even chamer urine. Sorry, he said it's not good, right? Yeah, sorry. Rav Sheshes holds like Rav Yaakov. I take it back. Rav Sheshes holds like Rav Yaakov, who says that honey, bee honey, is an exception, and everything else that comes out of unkosher animals is unkosher, even if it's just passing through, like the urine of the donkey, and that one that said it was the one who says that the reason why bee honey is kosher is not a pasuk; it's just a rational thing. Because it's not made from the bee's body itself, and according to that, you would say that the urine of the donkey is okay. That's a different Tana, who doesn't agree with Rabbi Yaakov. And now the Gemara says, "Vayter keman ozla." So according to whose opinion is the following? Hada Tanya the Brisa, the Vasha Gizim Vatsirin Toher. Another Brisa says that even honey that comes out of locusts is kosher. Umutar Bachil, it's Toher. That means it's not Tomei automatically, and it's mutter b'achila, and you're allowed to eat it. Who's that? According to the Leiker Rabbi Yaakov, that's everybody else besides Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov says only bee honey, and the other people say even honey that comes from other insects is also kosher. Well, there is locust honey. There you go. Now, the Gemara is asking, this person who's not Rabbi Yaakov said two things. Number one, it's toher. And the other one, mutter b'achila. What do you mean it's toher? That means it's not mekabel tuma. This toher here means about tuma and tara, not about eating. Because it says it's mutter b'achila. So what do you mean by toher? Toher means it's not automatically mekabel tuma. Yeah? It's alma. So we see from that, in order to be... So how does it work with food? Food is metame tuma, so it becomes tome tuma soichlin if you thought about eating it. Yeah? It has to have a heksher. Yeah? But here... And so therefore what? When the honey immediately comes out, it's not automatically mekabel tuma. So we see from that, boy machshava, you have to have the thought that you're going to eat it. If you didn't think about it and you weren't machshiv it to be a food, it wouldn't be mekabel tuma. Yeah? So that's the other thing. That's why it says toher. Tanin amihachi, devash bekavartoi, that honey in a honey, what do you call it, a beehive, yeah? In the hive, the kaveris? Yeah, so the honey, while it's sitting there in the beehive, is automatically considered food, is betame to masoichlin, shalom makshava. You don't even need to think and decide that it's food. It's automatically food. But chali diyachmurta, oh, so that's a full stop. So that's about the honey in the beehive. But honey in the locusts is only considered food if you had a machshava on that. Okay. So much for the honey. Now, chali di yachmurta. Chali di yachmur is an animal. I'm not sure exactly what the translation of Yachmur is. It's an animal mentioned in the Torah, Yachmur. I don't think it's a chamor, but it's, I don't know what the animal is. Anyway, it's Khalid Yachmurta. Maybe he translates it, but he's not telling me. He's sleeping. Will he translate the Yachmur? Ah, the Fimo Yachmur. Yeah, Yashakayach. He translates it as a Yachmur. No, no, it's a kosher animal. No, no, no. Okay, so that's helpful. That's called as helpful as usual. Okay, it's a member of the deer family. Okay, deer yachmur. Yachmur is a kosher animal. So they have this clumpy thing that they find in the womb of the yachmur. So what is this clumpy thing that they found? Is savar abon lemeimar beyaninu. So what they thought it was, it thought it was the male reproductive parts that sort of came off while the animal was doing his thing. The siren, and therefore they thought that it's forbidden because every menachai, that the male lost his thing, and therefore it's also because it looks like a ball. They thought it was a beitze zocher. Yeah, there's Omer of Safra. Zara Dayalahu. It's not the actual body part of the male. It is the seed of the male that came out into the womb of the female. The Ozol Basar Yalta. The Ayol was chasing the Ayalta. You had an Ayol is also a deer family thingy, an animal, and he was chasing the female as you do. The Aidi Dirach Mutsar, because the womb was narrow, Lam is Dakka. It didn't work out. The Ozel Basar Yachmurta, this guy was too big to fit into the female Ayala, so he went chasing a Yachmur, which I guess is bigger. Yeah. The Nasri, so he went into the Yachmur, and because he had to hold back his desires so much, by the time he got around to catching up to the Yachmur, he did a really good job. And this whole stream came through into the Yachmur and became a big clump then. It was Nikrash afterwards in the womb of the Yachmur. So I got bad news for you. It's kosher. It's Omar of... if you want to eat it. Omar of Huna. Okay, that's the end of that. You can open your ears again. Omar of Huna. Er haba keneged panav shel chamor. When a donkey is born... it's born with a type of a placenta across his face. So he calls it the skin that comes in front of the face of a donkey is mutter. In other words, it's not part of the donkey. Donkey is not kosher. But that thing that a donkey fetus comes, a donkey baby comes out and is mutter. My timer, why? Pirsha bi almahu. It's just junk. It's not part of the animal. Amalet of chizda, tarn the messiah, lach the brisa backs you up. Er habokneg at panav shal adam. That even for a person, when a person is born, he has certain membranes and placenta and whatever it is that comes in front of his face. Bein chai, bein meis. Whether the kid is alive or dead is Torah. That is kosher. Not kosher, but it doesn't... Sorry, not kosher, but it doesn't make you tummy. It's not considered part of the dead body. My love. So what do you mean, bein chai, bein meis? Don't you mean, bein hu chai, v'imoy chaya? It means, so a baby comes out of a mother. So you got a mother and a baby. So what's chai? Chai means that both the child and the mother are alive. And bein hu meis v'imoy meisa, whether he's dead and the mother's dead, is also not matame. Says the Gemara, so therefore he tries to say, why shouldn't it be matame? Because it's pirsha b'yalma. So Rav Chisda said to Rav Huna, this brisa seems to be saying the same thing as you, that this oyer, the skin that comes in front of the born baby, is not part of the baby, and therefore it's tahor regardless. So the Gemara said it doesn't prove it, because I can tell you, loy, no, that's not what it means, ben chai ben meis. It means ben hu chai v'ime meisa, ben hu meis v'ime chaya. If one of them is alive, it doesn't matter if the other one's not alive. I have a tanya, ben hu chai v'ime chaya, ben hu meis v'ime meisa, which is mefurish what I wanted to say. And Gemara says, "Itanya, Tanya." Okay, if the Brisa says that Mefurish, I can't argue with it. I can't reinterpret it just to play devil's advocate. So we will say it's a good proof that it's not part of the animal, the person is not part of it, and therefore it's not metame. So similarly with the chamor, it is not part of the donkey, and therefore it is kosher. Okay, so much for the donkey. Now we come to the fish. Says the Mishnah, dog tame shabala dog toher, a big fish which swallowed, a non-kosher big fish that swallowed a kosher fish, is mutter bachila. When you cut open the big unkosher, so you open up the shark, and inside the shark you found a gefilte fish, right? You can eat the gefilte fish, right? Isn't that a kind of kosher fish? The gefilte fish? Yeah, V'tohar shabala dog tame. If the gefilte fish ate the shark, is osir b'achila. Even though you're cutting up your gefilte fish, if you find a shark inside, you're not allowed to eat it. The fish ain't a giduloi, because that thing which it swallowed is not grown out of it. It's not a baby. It's just something that happens to be inside it. So it maintains its. If it was kosher, it maintains its kosherness. If it's not kosher, it maintains its non-kosherness. That's what the Mishnah says. Okay, so when it says that the unkosher fish, or the one fish swallowed another, so the Gemara is medayik taima. The reason why we have this psak din is the chazine debola. When you see the unkosher fish swallowing the kosher fish, and then you cut open the unkosher fish, you know that what's inside is a kosher fish because you saw it. You saw a salmon. Salmon? Is that a kosher fish? Yeah. You saw a salmon or tuna. I don't know. What other fishes are there? Not gefilte fish, right? You saw a kosher fish swimming along, and you saw the shark eat it, so you know that there was a kosher fish there, and you cut open the shark, and that kosher fish is still there, so you know it's kosher. Halecha zina debola. What if you didn't witness the event? You just opened the shark and found in there something that looks kosher. As Amri, you cannot eat it. You cannot assume it's a kosher fish that the shark swallowed, because maybe ashrutzi ashritz. Maybe it just formed inside the shark, and it's a piece of shark. Minolan, how do I know that? Tatan, huh?
Because a proper fish with fins and scales and really a fish, not an object, you'd know that it's a fish. A shark.
It looks like it, but all sorts of weird things are happening. We have cows giving birth to camels over here, so maybe the shark had some of the shark. Kishkis looks like a kosher fish. Is minolon? How is it? How do we know that? The Tanya, we learned in a brisa, a dog tome is mashrit. Oh, because like this, it could be pregnant. Unkosher fish are mammals. That's the rule in the Mishnah, anyway. Yeah. So when you find a smaller fish inside a shark, it could be that it's an embryo of a shark. It might look like a salmon. So it's a baby shark, like the song goes, yeah, baby shark. Yeah, so therefore the dog tome is mashritz. Because it's a mammal and it gets pregnant and it has fetuses, therefore, unless you saw the shark swallow the kosher fish, it might be that what you're finding inside is actually an embryo, a fetus of a shark, and therefore it's not kosher. But a dog toher is matal beitim. Kosher fish always lay eggs. They're not mammals, I guess. They don't get pregnant. They just lay eggs. Yeah? It's Freda Gemara Ihachi. If that's a hard and fast rule, then kichazina debola. Then even if you saw the shark eat the salmon, how are you allowed to assume that when you cut open the shark and you found something inside that it was the salmon that he ate? Armina, why don't we say that ha'iyakla, that the salmon has been digested and is gone, v'ha'yashrutziyashrutz, and this is the shark's baby in there, and it's a pregnant shark. Because you found them in the intestines on the way out the backside of the shark. Because if it was pregnant, then it should be where pregnant things go, in the womb, in the wherever. Yeah? Depends on where inside the shark's body you found it. Rav Papa Amar Kegoncha Motzei Derech Beis Habliya. When you found him in the throat where he swallows from. Not, so therefore, again, it's what you, hey? A little bit more pleasing. Instead of the shark's backside, you start on the shark's front side. So therefore, then you know it was the salmon that swam in there. Rav Nachman Amar, he's going to Motzei Sholem. You found it fully intact. Yeah? If you found it fully intact, then you can be pretty sure enough that it's the one that it swallowed. Even if it didn't swallow it. If you found a fully formed, intact salmon inside of a shark, you don't have to be choshish that maybe it's a baby shark. You're allowed to assume that it's a salmon. Rav Ashi Yomar, Rav Dogim B'minon Mashritzin.
And all this is only the Chazinon, right?
Oh, so all till now we're all talking about the Chazinon. Rav Ashi says, Rav Dogim B'minon Mashritzin, because most animals, when they get pregnant, most fish, when they get pregnant, their baby is the same species as the mother. And therefore, Kamisha Bolathan Adami. According to Rav Ashi, you don't even have to see the sharks swallow the salmon. Sharks swallow salmon. But even if you didn't see it, but if what's inside looks exactly like a salmon, then you can assume that by going after the rove, that if it would have been a baby shark, it would look like a baby shark. And therefore the salmon is kosher. It's as if you saw the salmon swim into the shark's mouth. Then it is a salmon, yeah. Okay. Tana Rabbanon, Dog Tommy Mashri. So going back to what we said, that unkosher fish get pregnant and they form babies in their insides. And a dog tore matal baitsim. Kosher fish lay eggs. Kol hamoylid menik. And those that give birth, not laying eggs, they actually give birth to children. Menik, they also suckle. Yeah, they produce milk and they suckle. The cholamatal beitzim, things that lay eggs, cholamatal beitzim is malakit. It doesn't produce milk to feed its young. It goes off and collects like chickens. Yeah, chickens don't suckle, don't breastfeed their young. They go off and find little bits of rubbish and they come and feed it to their babies. Yeah, chutz, except for the exception, is the atalef. Atalef is a bat, right? I think it's a bat. Yeah, but atalef, the bat, sha'afal pishamatal baitim, even though it lays eggs, mainik, it also suckles its young. Top of the page, hadolphinin. So, I thought it was a dolphin, but then I discovered it's a mermaid. Yeah. Dolphins, parim v'rabim kibnei adam. They have, their reproduction is the same as people. Rashi has a girsa mibnei adam, that the dolphin could conceive from a person. If you made a shidduch between a person and a dolphin, they could actually have kids. Because they're very humanesque. They say dolphins are very smart and my dolphin. And what are dolphins? Amar Rabbi Yehuda b'nei Yoma. There are people who live in the sea. So the way Rashi explains it, it means a chetzian tzurasod, a chetzian tzurasdog. They're half fish, half human. So they're mermaids, or maybe they're dolphins. I don't know what they are. Okay, so much for that. Now, kol she beitz of mibuchutz, any animal where the male's reproductive organs are outside, not inside the body, or they're external, is moilid. Then the children of that species are born, they're mammals, and they're born as giving birth. The chol she bifnim, if the reproductive organs are inside, matal beitzim, then that species will produce eggs. That means a female will lay eggs, and they will hatch as per egg hatching type of things. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Fred the Gemara, ain't it? Ain't so. The Omar Shmuel. Shmuel says an avos and an avos bor. There's the duck and the wild duck, and they are, even though they're both called duck, kilayim zebazeh, they're actually two different species, and they're not. You're not allowed to be two animals of different species together. You can, if you're a farmer or whatever you are, you're not allowed to make a shidduch between two different species. So he says, even though it's avos and avos abor, it's two different species, you cannot make a shidduch with them. The havinam by my timer, and Shmuel said that. The Gemara asks why. They're both ducks. Looks like a duck, and this is your look like a duck and quack like a duck. So why aren't they both ducks? is Amar Abaya. How do I know they're two different species? Zeh beitzim ibechot, zeh beitzim ifnim. One has external reproductive organs, and one has internal reproductive organs. So that means they both are. That means they must be different species. But wait for the punchline. Ritravayu matile beitzim, but they're both lay eggs. You just told me, Rabbi Yehuda, that the reproductive organs are bechutz. Then it doesn't lay eggs; it gives birth. Here we got two animals. One of them is beitzim ibechutz, and it's giving birth, and it's giving eggs. So that sort of fights against Rabbi Yehuda's thing. Elo, so we have to say different. Kol shezachrus ibechutz. So the male reproductive organs come in two parts. Yeah, not to be too graphic about it. Yeah, there's the beitzim and there's the gid. So the beitzim. So when we said, when we say that it depends if it's external and internal, we're talking about zachrusoi, the male part. Yeah, is mibachutz. Then it's moili. Then that species will give birth in a mammal fashion. Mibifnim. If that's inside, is matel beitzim. It's going to give eggs. Yeah, but it doesn't depend on the beitzim. It depends on the other part. Got it? Good. Right. Kol shetashmisha b'yoyim. Any animal that has intimacy with his wife in the daytime, yoyled b'yoyim. So it gives birth in the daytime. Balayla, if it's at nighttime, yoyled balayla, then it gives birth in the nighttime. Kol shetashmisha b'yoyim 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 balayla. The ones who are ambidextrous and will do it whenever they feel like, day and night, yoyled b'yoyim 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 balayla. Then the children will be born both day and night. Now, what's an example? Tashmisha b'yoyim, yoyled b'yoyim, ones who are only doing this in the day, and they have kids in the day only, is a tarnagel, is a chicken. Balayla, yoyled balayla, is a talif, is the bat. They're nocturnal, so they do it in the night, and they have kids in the night. Tashmisha b'yoyim, 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 the ones that don't care if it's day or night. Yoyled b'yoyim, 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 balayla, is Adam, a human being. V'chol d'domila, and anything else is like that. Okay. So, Fred de Gemara, the famous question, Lamai Nafkamina, who cares? Yeah, is the answer. Gemara says, I'll tell you who cares. L'chid Rav Mori b'reid Rav Kahana. The Omar Rav Mori b'reid Rav Kahana, bodak b'kina shel tarnagel me'er of Yontif. So an egg which is born on Yontif, Beitza shenolda b'yontif, if you remember all the way back in Masechus Beitza, yeah, is osur, it's noilud. You're not allowed, if the egg is born on Yontif, you're not allowed to eat it on Yontif. You've got to wait till after Yontif. So, you came and checked there of Yom Tov in the nest to see if there were any eggs in there, and there weren't any eggs. You came and checked there of Yom Tov, there's no eggs in there. Olamachar Hishkim, you got up early Yom Tov morning, and you found an egg in there. So, where did that egg come from? Says Rav Kahana, says Rav Mori, Rav Kahana, Muteres Bachil B'Yom Tov, it's permitted to eat that egg. We don't say it's a beta shenol de b'yomtiv, even though you checked erev yomtiv and the egg wasn't there l'chayra, and now the egg is there. We don't call it a beta shenol de b'yomtiv because emar lo yibadak yofa, because you probably didn't check properly. Fred the Gemara, what do you mean? V'haloi badak yofa. How do you know he didn't check properly? You're saying badak, he did check properly. He can't make the check because he wanted an egg.
Yeah, but he knows
that
at night.
Kasha for Maisa. Is Amar, so it must be Yotas Aruba v'chazra. However, that part of it went out and came back in. Yeah, because it's impossible. Uchad Rabbechon said, Om Rabbechon and Betis Yotas Aruba me'erev yomtiv. If most of the egg came out on erev yomtiv, v'chazeres, and then it went back inside and came back on yomtiv, is muteres leichel v'yomtiv, you're allowed to eat it on yomtiv. But what do we see from all that? Chickens don't lay eggs at night. Yeah, that was the point that we're trying to make over here. So if you checked it in the evening and it wasn't there, and the egg wasn't there, and you came back first thing in the morning and there was an egg, the egg did not come out during the night, because chickens don't do eggs at night, and therefore it must have been there before and you didn't find it, or maybe it came out and went back in, or whatever it was. Okay, kol shatashmish, now Vaita says the Braisa, kol shatashmish b'burei shava, any species which do the same sort of Tashmish, they use the same position for Tashmish. And also, the gestation period is the same. Yoldim and Megalim Zemizeh, they can conceive from each other, they can make a Shidduch. Hakol, not that you're allowed to make a Shidduch, but it would work. Hakol Mishamshin Ponin Keneged Oyref, all animals have Tashmish face to back. Chutz Mishloisha, except for three, Mishamshin Ponin Keneged Ponin, which are face to face, Veiluhain, Dog V'Odom V'Nochash, the fish a person and a snake. Why the fish comes before the person in this list, I'm not quite sure. Fish, person, snake. Umayshnahani, why dafka these three are ponim kineged ponim? Mayshnahani tlasa, kiyasa, ravdimi, yomri, bimarava. Hey? Yeah, it's all that, but okay, fair enough. These are the three species that the Shechina, that the Eibush spoke to directly, obviously person, and the Nachash, it says, Hashem spoke to the Nachash, and the fish, by Yoina, it says, it was the fish, yeah, Yoina's fish, it says, God spoke to the fish. So therefore the fish had to be a bit more, human-esque. So it's upon. Tana, and then the Brisa says, just to finish on a really exciting note, a Gomol is Ocher Keneged Ocher. I don't understand how that works, to be quite honest. But back to back. Like winning premierships 2 years in a row. Okay, to be continued tomorrow.